The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Mark 4:19. Hi, I'm Rob West. Jesus' warning in the parable of the sower teaches that the love of money makes us useless to the kingdom of God. I'll talk about that today and how to avoid it. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, scholars have looked at the New Testament and concluded that Jesus talked about money second only to the kingdom of God. So it's not surprising that the subject of money and possessions is so prevalent in his parables. Not everyone agrees on the exact number of parables in the Gospels because definitions of what constitutes a parable differ, but 40 is probably a safe number. So of those 40, nearly half directly address money. Think of the pearl of great price, the lost coin, the silver talents, and of course, the parable of the sower in Mark 4. In that parable, Jesus talks about four kinds of soil where the sower casts his seed. Let's look at each of them and what they mean. In verses 3 and 4, we read, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it." The hard soil in this passage is usually seen to represent someone who is hardened by sin. He hears the word but doesn't understand it. It sits on the surface and becomes bird food. The birds, of course, are usually seen to represent Satan, plucking away those lost in sin. Then in verses 5 through 7, Jesus says, "Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away." Here, the stony soil represents someone who at first seems to take great delight in hearing God's word, but his heart doesn't follow along. He has no foundation, so when trouble or hardships come along, well, he loses his faith. Hardship, of course, can be many things, but very often it takes the form of financial difficulty. It could be a job loss, a business failure, or in so many cases, debt. Without a firm foundation in God's word, particularly God's financial principles, what seemed to be rock-solid faith disappears in the rocky soil. Okay, now we come to the third soil, and this is the one we're really taking a hard look at. In Mark 4:7, Jesus says, "Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain." At this point, we might not think Jesus is talking about finances, but several verses later, he goes into more depth about each type of soil. In verses 18 and 19, he addresses the third soil, saying, "And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." So there's no question that Jesus is talking about the danger of loving money more than God. The gospel is choked out not only by the worries of this life, and more specifically, by the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things. The warning is that achieving great financial success can be just as dangerous, if not more so, than having financial difficulties. That's because when we acquire wealth, our sin nature makes us want to believe that we did it all on our own, that we didn't need God. So while we may have great wealth, there's no fruit. We're proven unfaithful. There's nothing wrong with acquiring wealth. Money itself is neither good nor bad. More on that in a minute. Now, you can avoid becoming any of these first three soils by being the fourth. Jesus describes it in verse 20, saying, "But those who were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold." We want to bear fruit in all of our Christian walk, but we should pay particular attention to our finances because Jesus did so in this parable. We have to remember that God owns everything and that He is sovereign. He's provided us with everything, our skills and other resources to produce wealth. We have to remain grateful and generous with those resources. The more generous we are, the less of a stranglehold finances will have on us. And as we've said before, it's counterintuitive, but giving breaks the hold of materialism. Now, as I said, there's nothing wrong with wealth. It's about how we manage it. God often gives us more than we need so we can be generous. In 1 Timothy 6:10, Paul says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil," emphasis on love. The Bible never calls money itself evil. All right, your calls are next. We'll be right back. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey.
We forget sometimes that our bodies are included in the redemption, that the reason Jesus himself was physically raised from the dead, because of that, we will also, the Bible talks about, we will be physically raised from the dead.
The Great Restoration, an article by Jordan Chambly.
And we can look forward to one day being resurrected and restored to a physical, eternal life.
To read this article, visit afa.net/the stand.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. Soundmindinvesting.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, and we're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. What's on your mind today? We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. You know, as we think about our financial resources, we want to go back to God's Word. As we said in the opening segment today, there is so much found in Scripture related to this topic of money management and stewardship, how we should think about God's money and our role as managers of it, and the fact that money then becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. When we look at Jesus' parables, when we look at the counsel of Scripture from the Old Testament to the New, we see that this topic is on God's heart, and I believe it's because there is so much related to how we handle money every day that reveals what's important to us, what we value, and so we want to align our management of God's resources with His priorities for us. That means we have to start on our knees and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? How can I honor you with what you've entrusted to me? So whether it's your spending plan or paying down debt, perhaps you've got some credit cards that have gotten away from you. You're wondering the best way to pay those down. Maybe it's saving for the future and how to navigate these volatile times in the stock market. Or maybe it's your giving, how to approach the tithe or sacrificial giving. Are there more creative ways to be giving to the maximum? We'd love to hear from you with any and all of those questions. Again, 800-525-7000. You know, we started today by talking about generosity and recognizing that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, can choke out the word from bearing fruit in our lives. And if money is going to get a stronghold over us, if it's going to have a grip on us that we can't quite shake, here's my experience. Giving is what breaks the grip of money over our lives. It's generosity that's going to cause that grip over us to perhaps be loosened. And I think we need to be thinking about our giving in that way. Yes, it's for the benefit of the recipient, but it's also for us because it does a work in our life. I believe it calibrates our hearts to the heart of the Father, who's the ultimate giver. And remember, we were created in His image. So when we think about our generosity, we always want to be thinking about how can we maximize what it is we're giving? And I think there's some questions that we can be thinking about and asking ourselves that perhaps might get us pointed in that direction. Let me mention, before I work through these questions, we do have some lines open today. And if you have a question that you'd like to wrestle with, if you'd like to talk about how we apply biblical principles to what you're dealing with in your financial life, we'd love to hear from you. Pat, standing by. We're ready to take your call at 800-525-7000. You can give us a call right now. All right, let's talk about six questions for intentional giving, because if we want to give to our full potential, then we've got to be dealing with several aspects of our life and our generosity. First, I would say that we need to ask and answer the question, who owns it? That's really a critical question for us. Do I really believe that God owns all of the resources that I have in my care? And I've got to begin with that question. When I answer it, it literally changes everything because it gets me positioned in a way that I realize that I want to reflect the heart of the Father. You see, when we look at the parable of the talents, we recognize that the reason the master was entrusting to the servants and then evaluating their response was all about whether or not they knew what the master wanted. Because if it's all God's, and it is, then we should want to carry out His wishes with how we use His resources. And we've got to start with that fundamental question of who owns it, and we've got to answer it correctly. Secondly, it's the financial question. How much is enough? We will never give to our maximum potential until we know what our finish lines are, specifically with our lifestyle. We need to define enough. And we've got to determine for our monthly and our annual spending, what is the lifestyle God has called us to? Well, that's a question we all need to wrestle with. And then once we move beyond spending, we've got to move to the accumulation question. How much is enough for my net worth? It's not just my spending and my lifestyle. It's how much is enough for me to ultimately save for the future. It's not about just the mindless accumulation of wealth. It's about saving for a specific purpose aligned with my values and my priorities, my goals that are bathed in prayer and directed according to God's heart. That's ultimately how I need to think about my savings. So the first question, who owns it? The second, how much is enough? The third is really about my vision. I think it's a vision question, and here it is. What is my kingdom vision? Do I know what God's heart is for the world? And have I asked Him to show me how to participate with Him? What are my passions and how do I align that with where God is at work? You see, you will never outgive your vision for your giving. And so you've got to develop that. And perhaps that takes some time to say, what can I do to align my passions with what's on the heart of God in Scripture? The ministry of God's word, the ministry of God's mercy, the ministry of God's justice. That might be right here in your local community, or it might be to the ends of the earth. Whatever it is, you need to ask the question, and that's all about what is my kingdom vision. So the first three, who owns it? How much is enough? What is my kingdom vision? And then the fourth is a relationship question, and it says simply this. do I have giving relationships that impact my thinking about generosity? Do I have people in my life that are spurring me on to greater giving? And am I in contact with my local foundation? Maybe the National Christian Foundation has a local office in your area and you can be there. What about what we call a journey of generosity, which is a 24-hour experience from our friends at Generous Giving, where you get in a destination setting for 24 hours and overnight and just immerse yourself in some great short-form video-based teaching from people like Tim Keller and others around generosity. But then the real secret sauce is around the discussion that occurs following that as you begin to unpack it and apply it to your lives. So you need to have relationships that spur you on to greater generosity. The next question, do I give reactively or proactively? That's really the planning question. Do I have a plan to give to the level that I want to give, or do I just react emotionally in my giving? We need a plan if we're ever going to give to our maximum potential. You see, most of our giving happens in the form of cash. In fact, 90% of our giving happens in the form of cash gifts. The challenge with that? Well, 10% of our wealth on average is held in the form of cash. So if we want to give to our maximum potential, we have to give from our balance sheet, out of assets. Well, that requires planning. Is there a piece of appreciated real estate we want to give? Is it about an appreciated stock portfolio? Do we want to give, you know, another asset that perhaps a car? That's an opportunity to actually give beyond what we ever imagine, not to mention a business if you have a closely held business. So that's the planning question. And then finally, we finish with the legacy question. Number six is the next steward chosen and prepared? You see, we have to recognize that I'm passing spiritual capital, character capital, and yes, financial capital to the next generation, to the next steward. And an inheritance may ruin a child, and it actually may be better stewardship to give it away. And we've got to think and pray through that. If something is going to interrupt the spiritual development of a child, it may be money. So we need to be giving that careful consideration. I hope those six questions will help you give to your maximum potential. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your questions. What's on your mind today? We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open. You can call right now, and we'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit moneywise.org/connect. That's moneywise.org/connect.
The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items. Everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, finishing up the fourth day of our program here on American Family Radio. That's right. This is our brand new program on this first week. And as we round out the week, just want to say how delighted I am to be joining you each morning with this new program, to be a part of the American Family Radio family, and to be able to bring you this opportunity to explore the scriptures and apply God's truth to your financial decisions and choices every day. Looking forward to getting to know many of you as you call with your questions and thoughts and comments. Be sure to share your joys and struggles with us as well. If you've had a great success, maybe there's something in your financial life where you had a breakthrough. You were trying to pay off some debt, or you just wrote the last check to pay off that mortgage, or you reached a savings goal, or you were able to give the largest gift you've ever been able to give. Whatever it is, be sure to share that with us as well at 800-525-7000. Let's head to the phones today. We're going to begin in North Carolina. Karen, thank you for your call. Go right ahead.
Yes, this is Karen in North Carolina. I'm 82, and I've recently moved here, well, about last October, actually. And one of my children has suggested that I give $100,000 to the independent investor that they use, who has earned them a good bit of money. And the investor is going to give it to an insurance company for 5 years, and the return on that investment will be $30,000 after that 5 years, supposedly. And yes. I just don't know about doing that. It seems to me that Dan used to say that you just don't invest in insurance companies. And So I'm bothered by that. What do you think?
Yeah, Karen, I'd certainly at the very least want a lot more information before you move forward. I like the fact that this was a recommendation from somebody, but that doesn't mean that it's legitimate or it's what is right for you. Annuities, which you would typically get with an insurance company, that's probably what you're talking about, are not my first choice. They do have a place, namely when somebody has exhausted other long-term savings vehicles, so they've maxed out tax-deferred accounts like 401ks, and IRAs, and they're looking to put some additional funds away on a tax-deferred basis for the longer term. That's where an annuity can make some sense. But they're not all created equal. They're complicated. You've got to read the fine print. You've got to have a trusted person who's helping you navigate which one to select, not someone who's necessarily selling you on it, but somebody who can come alongside you and help you determine what is the best fit for you, because they also can be very expensive. The things that cause some red flags for me and what you're describing is, you know, that would essentially be a 6% return. And, you know, as you think about that, that would be, you know, pretty significant, per 6% per year. And, you know, there typically would not be a guaranteed product out there offering 6%. So you'd want obviously more clarification on that, because anytime somebody's promising you a guarantee that sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Now, they may be referencing basing historical performance on what they expect this to do over a five-year time period. It may be a variable annuity that has a growth component to it, and they're kind of anticipating that that's what it's going to do, but not a fixed annuity offering a guaranteed 6% a year. So that would be enough of a red flag for me to say, pump the brakes, let's not rush into this, and I would get some objective counsel. My counsel would align with what you're describing as Dan's counsel, which would be, you know, when we've identified that we have assets that we're ready to invest, meaning we've got the right time horizon. So I would say 10 years or more on a typical investment. When we've got the right other assets in place. So if you've got an emergency fund enough to fall back on to cover your monthly bills, you know, you've got a budget in place. You've got, you know, in this season of life in your 80s, probably somewhere between 6 and 12 months in cash ready, you know, for the unexpected and to supplement your income. But if you have funds beyond that, that you want to put to work that either you want to draw an income from to supplement other income sources, or you just want to grow it for the future in the event you need it down the road for, let's say, health-related reasons or long-term care, or just to grow it so that it's appreciating and then can be given away to a ministry or as an inheritance, then it can make sense to put it to work and invest it. But my preferred approach would be to entrust it to an investment advisor who can make those decisions for you, give careful consideration to the right properly diversified portfolio that works for you so you're not taking unnecessary risk, and somebody that you can be in close contact with, somebody that's not going to, you know, make emotional decisions based on the ebbs and flows of the market, but can follow a disciplined investment strategy that's appropriate for what you're trying to accomplish and what God is doing in your life. So if you have funds that are ready to be invested and they've met all those criteria, an annuity would not be my first choice, especially one that you don't understand and one that sounds a little too good to be true. Does all that make sense, though?
It does. Yeah, and I think that was kind of the way I was thinking. I have $300,000 is really all I have, but I am a 82, like I said, and actually my entire income each month, which is my income from my deceased husband and myself,
yes,
is,
ma'am,
right at $4,000, which is what it's costing me to live where I am.
Okay.
And so I really don't have any other money other than that and the $300,000.
Okay. But you're not having to live on that now. That can just continue to grow because your other income sources are covering you. Well, here's what I would recommend. I'd probably reach out to a couple of certified Kingdom advisors there in North Carolina. You can find a CKA in your area by going to our website, moneywise.org, and click Find a CKA. Stay on the line. I'll make sure you understand how to do that here during this break. We're going to pause, but we'll be back with much more. 800-525-7000. Lines are open. Give us a call right now, and we'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Bishop E.W. Jackson is on a mission.
Some people are just embarrassed to be Americans. That's a big problem. I mean, I've heard people say that. They're embarrassed to be Americans. I'm not embarrassed to be American. I love my country. I'm thankful to God that I'm an American. I'm thankful to God to live in this land of freedom and opportunity and hope. And I'm fighting to make sure that that never changes.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson, every weekday at noon Central on AFR, or catch the podcast at afr.net.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at moneywise.org.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So glad you're along with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is the program where we mine the scriptures and apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. What are you thinking about financially today? We'd love to hear from you at 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Whether it's your spending plan, your giving plan, paying down debt, saving for the future, whatever you want to chat about, we'd love to hear from you. Let's head back to the phones. Michigan is where Rose is located. Rosa, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Hello. Yes, I was wondering, how do you get started when you live paycheck to paycheck and don't have any savings or anything? How do you get started on saving for the future? And you're already in your, you know, your husband's in his late 60s and you're in your late 50s. And
yes. Well, Rosa, it's a great question, and a lot of folks, I'm sure, are resonating with this question around the country as you ask it, because so often, you know, just the demands of this life and the expenses that we have and living paycheck to paycheck, we find ourselves in our 50s and 60s and beyond without the savings that we had hoped we could have. Just because of the way things have progressed. And so now we're sitting here saying, what does that look like to actually put some money aside for the future? And I would say a couple of things. Number one is we've got to start with that spending plan to make sure that the expenses are covered right now. Have you taken the time, you and your husband, to really capture on paper or electronically everything you're spending on a monthly basis, both those things you get a bill for and the expenses that I call discretionary, which you don't get a bill for, but you spend as well, eating out or entertainment, maybe picking up some clothes, you know, every now and then, that type of thing.
No.
Do you have all those expenses?
Actually, we don't. We had a ministry, and it was just a love offering based, you know.
Okay. All right.
And there was a lot of traveling involved and all that.
So
going from church to church and state to state and all that. So it was just the money that came in barely took care of the traveling and, you know, doing the ministry and maintaining things.
Yes.
But now with the COVID thing, that has come to a halt. And my husband now is now working at a factory, and okay. I'm, you know, so anyways, it's
yeah.
just, you know, we no longer have that
okay.
going on.
And are you working
we,
as well,
we
Rosa?
We just never, No, right now I just started school.
Okay.
I'm going to college to try to get prepared for the workforce, because I have been out of the workforce for so long.
Yes.
And I don't know how to use a computer and things like that.
Okay, very good. Well, you all are doing the right things, in the sense that I realize the pandemic has changed a lot. Obviously, you've been serving the Lord for a long time and living very modestly, and now he's out, has found employment. You're working on job-related skills that I think are going to be important. So I think the next step is, number one, determine your monthly income, what you have coming in, and then plan a budget around that. And if you need help with that, our MoneyWise coaches would be happy to help you at no cost put that budget together so we can match what you have bringing in that you can count on from his factory job with your expenses, and then moving forward, put a system in place to control the flow of money in and out. Secondly, I would ask whether you could get a part-time job even with your schooling. Could you bring in some supplemental income while you're in school getting those job-related skills? I think that would be key. I would be looking, as you put this budget together, for any opportunity to trim expenses. And that's especially important now with inflation up at, 8.6%. We're feeling it everywhere we go that things just cost more. And so we've got to really stay dialed into our expenses. And then obviously, as you come out the other side with some of those job-related skills, the good news is this is a very strong job market. And Lord willing, you'll be able to find something that'll meet your needs and bring in some additional income. I think your first objective, Rosa, for you and your husband, as you all have anything extra, like if you were to get a part-time job, is to automate your savings. Let's set up a set amount every month that goes right into savings in a separate account, which you could open at one of the online banks like Ally Bank or Marcus. You could do that completely free, and set up an automatic transfer to that account so that it's out of your checking account so it doesn't get spent. I'd like for you to try to build up first $1,000 in emergency funds, and then 1 month's worth of expenses on your way to 3 months' expenses. Once you have that emergency fund in place, now that's going to be what you fall back on in the event that you have unexpected expenses come up. And they always do. Once that's in place, though, then we can start thinking about saving for the longer term. So, for instance, if you go from part-time to a full-time job, maybe you can live on your husband's income and take 100% of your income and fund an IRA, an individual retirement account, which will reduce your taxes and allow you to get some money, working for the future. You're still young. You've got plenty of time. If the Lord tarries and you're in good health, this money might need to last a long time. And so anything you can put away over the next 10 or 15 years will obviously be available in that season of life once you start earning Social Security, when he's no longer working, to supplement your income. So I think it's one step at a time. It's not a quick fix, but it really goes back to, let's determine our income. Let's set that budget. Let's get a system to control the flow of money. Let's try to get through school, perhaps with a part-time job, and then let's move forward from there. Recognizing God is your provider. So you're placing your trust fully in him, and we'll see what he does in the days ahead. If you'd like to connect with one of our MoneyWise coaches, Rosa, you can do that at moneywise.org. Our website, just click the community button and then click connect with a coach. And these folks would love to help you and serve you. And there's, again, no charge for that. God bless you, Rosa. Thank you for calling into MoneyWise on American Family Radio today. May the Lord bless you. And we do have some lines open. We're going to take a quick break here in just a moment. But when we come back, we'd love to take additional calls. 800-525-7000, whatever's on your mind financially speaking, 800-525-7000. Hey, before we take this break, let me mention, I've mentioned our MoneyWise coaches several times on the program. And since this is our first week together and you're just getting to know the ministry of MoneyWise, I'd love to share what we do in that area, because one of our significant areas of ministry to you is through our MoneyWise coaches. We have men and women who see this as their ministry to come alongside God's people to help them steward and manage the resources God has entrusted to them. They do it as volunteers after our training, and so there's no cost for it, but we're able to provide somebody that can come alongside you to help you put a spending plan together, help you think about your debt repayment, help you control the flow of money, get you into the MoneyWise app if you want to use an electronic means of managing money, answer your questions, get you set up, and they do all of that without any cost. So if you'd like to connect with a MoneyWise coach, you can do that on our website. You just head to moneywise.org, click the community button, and then click connect with a coach. I'll also mention while you're there, be sure you create a free MoneyWise account. You can do that quickly and easily. That will do two things. It will, number one, ensure that you get our MoneyWise weekly wisdom email that goes out every Thursday with a note from me, our recommended reads for the week, and our trending podcasts. It comes to your inbox every Thursday when you create a free account. And with a free account, you can participate in our MoneyWise community, where you can post questions, share ideas, hear from others on a stewardship journey as well, and perhaps get your question answered right there in our MoneyWise community. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
Friendships is looking for full-time volunteer men and women who are serious about serving God, investing time in rewarding work, and helping people in need around the world. There is no charge to serve. Room and board are provided. A willing heart and a desire to work as part of a team are the primary skills required. Check out the opportunities at friendships.org or email portmercy@friendships.org. That's portmercy@friendships.org.
This is Jan Mark Hill. Next on Understanding the Times Radio, I talk to pastors Mark Hitchcock and author Jeff Kinley about the global reset. Is this just a foolish and failing scheme by a bunch of deranged globalists? Or is this the predicted tribulation time outlined in the book of Revelation? Listen and learn next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Your kids are grown, and you're in a new stage of life. It's a challenging adjustment, but author Dr. Jim Burns says now is the time to make a fresh start. And his new book, Finding Joy in the Empty Nest, will equip you with practical, biblical advice. Learn to manage big issues like aging parents, managing a fixed income, or how to help your children. Request your copy of Finding Joy in the Empty Nest with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thanks for tuning in to MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Let's head right back to the phones and welcome Jake in Arkansas. Jake, thanks for your call. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'm 30 years old, and I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I'm my wife, of course, and I have a little girl on the way. And I own my own business. It's seasonal. It's actually in the hunting industry. And then during the summer, I have other sources of income.
Well, I think we lost Jake there. Jake, you're welcome to give us a call back. I did see some notes from Pat who spoke to Jake, and I believe he's wanting to know how he gets started in saving for retirement. And, you know, I think, first of all, Jake, congratulations on God's blessing in your little one, 6, 3, and 0, one on the way. That's incredible. You know, when you have a your own business, you don't have access to a company-sponsored retirement plan. So we've got to look at other options. And a SEP IRA is usually one of the simplest to open. And you can put away a good bit of money. So, for instance, you can either put 25% of your compensation or $61,000 a year for 2022, whatever is less. But that gives you the ability to save well beyond a Roth or a traditional IRA. And they're very easy to open. You could do it at Charles Schwab or Fidelity or Vanguard, and then begin to contribute into the SEP IRA. You know, what that's going to do for you, Jake, is give you the option to, as you know, your funds come in, and I realize with a seasonal business, this can be more challenging, but you want to try to operate your business in such a way where you're, during those times where you have more coming in, setting it aside so you can smooth out the income to yourself personally. I'd keep books that are separate so you have proper accounting both for the business and personally. I'd run the business in such a way that, you know, when you're doing a lot of hunting and you're taking folks out on trips, you know, and preparing for that season when you're not doing that and perhaps you shift to some other things, try to put as much as you can away because the goal is to pay yourself a consistent amount every month and then build your family budget on that. And then as, you know, the money is spent, make sure you allocate a specific amount to automate your savings for retirement. I would look to try to put, Jake, 10 to 15%, if you can, away for retirement using that SEP IRA. And then you can have a Roth in addition to that. So I think that would be the way to go for you. It's all going to start with your spending plan and how you manage the business. I believe Jake is back with us. Jake, were you able to hear what I was sharing? Jake, are you there?
Hey, I'm so sorry. I have no, it's fine. Idea what happened.
No problem. Were you able to hear what I had just shared?
I was not. I had my radio off, and I was trying to get back in touch with you.
No problem. So let's do this. You hold the line, and rather than saying all that again, I'll call you after the show and see if I can help you. But essentially, I'd love for you to set up a SEP IRA, try to pay yourself a consistent amount each month from the business to smooth out kind of the ebbs and flows of the business that you have, and then build your budget in such a way where you can ideally put 10 to 15% into a SEP IRA and a Roth every year so that you have something going toward the future since you don't have a company-sponsored plan. But Pat will get your information. I'll get right back to you, and we appreciate your call today. Let's stay in Arkansas. Carla, you're next on the program. Go right ahead. Carla, are you with us?
Yes.
Okay, go right ahead. You're on MoneyWise.
Well, my husband recently passed away, and he was a great provider. I'm sitting on about $1 million. I pulled everything out of the markets just because at this point I don't trust him. My financial guy tells me there's nowhere to put it, so it's sitting in cash, not drawing anything. I need some help with what to do because that's all the money I'm going to have, and I am 71 years old.
Yeah. Well, I'm so sorry to hear about your husband passing, Carla. You know, as you take time to really think about what God has for you in this next season, obviously the managing these resources that the Lord has provided is a significant part of that. And getting some trusted counsel to walk alongside you, I think, is critical as well. Tell me about the income sources that you have, Carla. Are you dependent upon an income stream from this roughly $1 million portfolio, or do you have other income sources that cover your bills?
Just the Social Security, and it covers, but I don't have any wiggle room with that.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Well, I think you've got a couple of options here. I mean, the challenge with just parking this and not earning anything on it is it's losing purchasing power essentially every day, especially in these heightened inflationary times that we're in. So you've got a couple of options. I mean, the goal would be to take as little risk as possible to meet your goals and objectives. And what I would typically say is, you know, with a $1 million portfolio where you're not intending to live on it right now, but you want to grow it modestly for the future with a focus on capital preservation, meaning protecting what you have, but then, you know, on also capital appreciation at a modest level so that, you know, you can stave off the impact of inflation and see this grow over time. I would say you'd deploy that into an investment strategy that's probably somewhere around 20 to 30% in stocks that gives you a growth component. And yes, those may go down further from here before they go back up, but gives you the ability over, let's say, a 10 or 20 year period, which if the Lord tarries and you're good in good health, we could likely need this money to last that long, gives you the ability to have a growth component to the portfolio. And then the rest of it, the majority, 70 or 80% would be in a fixed income type strategy with, you know, could be CDs, could be, you know, high quality bonds, you know, from the U.S. government, corporate bonds. You know, you could look at other fixed income instruments as well. And it would be built in such a way that the goal would be to generate, you know, about 4% a year on that portfolio. Now, if you said, Rob, I'm just not comfortable taking any level of risk with this, given any number of considerations you have, well, the other option would be to look at an insurance product where you'd transfer the risk from yourself to an insurance company for a guaranteed rate of return. That's not my first choice. They're complicated and expensive. You lose access to the money without surrender charges. So that's why I would prefer you keep it in a properly diversified, very conservative stock and bond portfolio, but it is an option if you want to, you know, transfer that risk away from yourself and the markets. In either case, I would recommend getting some wise counsel, interviewing two or three advisors. If you don't have one that you're entirely satisfied with, finding one that's a good fit for you, who understands you and what your, you know, goals and objectives are, how conservative you want to be, any concerns you have, and then together deploys a portfolio that makes sense so you can modestly grow this, protect it for the future, but also have something that you could draw an income from if you needed it down the road. But give me your thoughts on all of that.
Well, I was able to get out of an annuity because when my husband died, I had that death benefit where I could pull out
yes, ma'am.
What we had. And that was a little over half of what our assets were. So that's one reason that the big amount of money is sitting there. I'm probably using $3,000 a month out of what I have. Just seems like right now it's just what it's taking.
Okay.
Well, that's about what I lost in Social Security benefits.
Okay.
So I guess my concern is it's ridiculous to me to have it sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah.
But is this a time that I want to have someone invest 20 to 30% in the market?
Well, a couple of thoughts on that. Number one is pulling out $3,000 a month, $36,000 a year, you're approaching that 4% target that I was talking about. But as it's sitting in cash, obviously all that's coming out of principal as opposed to it being invested, where the goal is to generate that amount of income that you would then pull out so you're maintaining the principal. As to whether this is the appropriate time, I don't like to time the market. What we know to be true is that recessions come typically every 10 years. They last on average 11 months. We clearly have some headwinds in front of us. There's going to be heightened volatility for the rest of this year. Could we be in a recession next year? Absolutely. And would the market fall from these levels? It would. But clearly, if you were to begin to move that portion of the market or that portion of your portfolio into the market today, and you were to do that over the balance of this year, let's say, you're going to be buying at a discount from where the market was 6 months ago. That's for sure. And nobody likes to buy at the top all the time. So I think, you know, this is an opportunity to deploy a strategy like this, because we wouldn't be looking out for the next 6 months or a year or even 2 years. We'd be looking out 10 years saying that, yeah, even if we, you know, hit a recession, we'll move through that and move to higher ground. And that's really the way that you're going to generate some income that can offset your needs on a monthly basis. The other option would be to, in this near term, while you're praying through and thinking through what you want to do, to go ahead and put these into separate high yield savings accounts, probably $250,000 with each institution. Currently, they're paying about 0.8%, a little less than 1%. I like Marcus. I like Capital One 360. I like Ally Bank. They're all free savings account, FDIC insured, means backed by the U.S. government. and you'll earn nearly 1%. You could also put them into 1, 2, and 3-year CDs and get between 1.5% and 3%. So those would be other options while you're waiting, thinking, and praying about where to go from here. I'd also interview 2 or 3 certified Kingdom advisors there in Arkansas. You can find a CKA in your city when you visit our website, moneywise.org. Just click Find a CKA. So that at least gives you some options while you're thinking and waiting and praying. And we'll just ask the Lord to give you some wisdom as you navigate this. And Carly, we appreciate your call today. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. I'm Rob West, your host. I want to say thank you to Pat Montague handling our phones today. Devin Patrick, our producer today. Jim Henry providing research. Thank you for being here as well. I hope you'll have a great weekend. Have a great day at church on Sunday. And come back and join us on Monday. I'll be here for another edition of MoneyWise on American Family Radio. May God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.